Ladies and gentlemen, please notice that exits are conveniently located at the front and rear of this auditorium. When
Busted makes me feel good. I'm Mike Field.
I'm Mike Butler.
And you're watching Forgotten Cinema, now showing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. That's right. Butler, we saw this last night. Actually, how you doing, Butler? Even though I saw you last night, who cares?
I'm doing fine. I've actually got a brand new computer chair, so there's going to be hopefully no more terrible fancy lower back pain.
Let me see. Let me see. Oh, that's a gaming chair. Are you gaming?
I mean, yeah, I do game.
I get it. Yeah, are you going to play some Fortnite after this? Is that a Superman logo? God, you're such a
it is. It was a Superman logo or an all white chair that were sold out of like the regular one. So
what's up, Post? Thanks for joining. All right, Mike. So we're talking Frozen Empire. I mean, I know what we said when we walked out of this. Actually, you know what? Before we do that, Mike, why don't you do our little pitch like we do in the beginning? I know we don't have anything going on. So do your little pitch about our Patreon and whatnot, and then we'll get right into it. Cause I want to get right into the movie because I got a lot of things to talk about.
All right. So if we're doing the pitch at the beginning real quick, just don't forget to like and subscribe. And then visit patreon.com/forgottencinema for extra exclusive episodes, including our entire lead up series for all the Ghostbusters episodes up to now. They're all on the Forgotten Cinema Patreon page. And don't forget May 1st, our regular show, Forgotten Cinema, is coming back with a brand new season 17 with 13 episodes and every season after that. So we're going to hit the ball rolling pretty soon in about a month.
I've already started taking notes on the first movie. So as soon as I started, I'm like, here we go. All right. So after we watched Afterlife, I think we both were kind of, you know, positive going into this film. And I hate just outright slamming a movie because I know everybody likes to slam movies. So there are some things that I know we both enjoyed in this, but I think overall there were some things that we kind of looked at each other going, what's happening here? I guess where I want to start is, do you think that this film affects your viewing of Afterlife? Like, do you think that, because we both don't love this film, but do you think that it affects the previous film for you?
Oh, don't put words in my mouth. You don't know if I don't love this. I don't love this film.
It was a question. Oh, okay.
But no, I don't think that affects my, a film has to be really bad to affect my previous watchings of a film. You know, Ghostbusters Answer the Call doesn't affect Ghostbusters for me as a brand. And I'm not a huge fan of that movie, but like, I've got to really like hate something.
Neither was Ernie Hudson.
I read his interview about that.
Yeah.
But he even said, he was like, you try stuff, it doesn't work.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, I think maybe like Alien vs. Predator Requiem is close to like almost destroying my love of something. Like if it went any further than that, maybe. Although even in that movie, there's some fun stuff. At least it's fun. Yeah, Post agrees.
Post agrees with you. All right. So how about this? So we both started this movie. Obviously, anytime you sit down and watch a movie, hopefully everybody goes into the movie going, all right, okay, let's get this going. Let's watch this. I can't wait.
Right.
At what point during this film did you just kind of go like, okay, I'm not cool with that, or something's up. I don't understand why. Like, at what point did you start sensing the trouble in this film?
It was probably when I finally was like, wait, when are we getting to the film? When is that Frozen Empire going to happen? So it was probably a good 3/4 of the way through the film when I was finally like, wait, have we really started this film yet?
Yeah. You don't get to the baddie until like the last 15, 20 minutes.
I mean, sure. If you say the original Ghostbusters, you also don't fight Gozer till the very end. Okay. But you also talk about Gozer throughout the film. And I know this guy is hinted at, the god whose name I purposely tried to remember earlier today, and now I can't.
the ice god, Elsa. And I said to my son, I said, he was like, what was the movie about? And I'm like, oh, it's a Frozen Empire. It's about this like ghost that like freezes everything. He's like Elsa? I go, yes, exactly like Elsa.
pissed off Elsa. But yeah, I mean, you don't really get to any of that stuff until later on in the movie, and it's slightly hinted at. But I think that the whole takeaway that I got from this movie was that it feels like the first or second draft of a much better movie if they had just taken the time to cook it. Like, I don't hate this movie because there's, like you said, there's a lot I like in this movie. But as a movie, totally and completely, it's a mess. And there's so much stuff. And it needs more time in the oven because it's not cohesive. There's just so much, like, let's throw all these ideas all over the place. I just feel like they wanted to get a sequel out so fast, and it probably could have used another year or two, you know, in terms of like just bouncing. Even if it's just Reitman and Gil Keenan just talking and figuring out themselves, you don't have to send it to somebody else if they want to be the gatekeepers of Ghostbusters. But I think they needed more time with this film.
Mm-hmm. I was a little confused in terms of, I just want to say, we have a little international flair going here. I love it. I love it, Post. I love it. I just want to say, like, they try to do this whole, the family dynamic, and they don't really ever say that they're married. Gruberson and Spangler, but that you get the idea that they're together, obviously serious to the point where it's gonna,
sure,
yeah, but so the whole big thing at the end when she calls him dad, I it didn't really hit for me because I was just like, well, I didn't realize that was like a thing. Like, I didn't realize like that was he was looking for. I mean, it's nice. I just don't know if I if I need it.
I think he was looking for it, but I think that's part of why there's two different films in here, because I think another part of the film is Phoebe finding herself and becoming a kid for once and kind of falling for someone, either whether it's romantically or a friendship.
I think it was romantically.
I think so too, but they didn't like really hammer that home. But it's still like whatever it is, it's a relationship with a human being, which
do you think that was on purpose?
No, I just feel like because they have so many stories, they didn't really want to get into it too far. Maybe. And I think that's because you also have the Gruberson wanting to be a dad to everybody kind of storyline, which is why Finn Wolfhard's character, who didn't have much to do in the last movie, really has nothing to do in this film.
Well, my comment to you, I remember asking you this and I'll ask it to you again. I mean, like, are the Ghostbusters needed here? Like, there's so many people now. Like, it was almost laughable when they, at the end of the movie, when the ice god, I can't remember his name, but I don't care, turns to him and they turn and you have a full shot of all the people in the Ghostbusters uniforms. There's like 10 people there. I'm like, what is this? This is like, it feels like I'm at a convention. This is a cosplay. It's like, what's going on here? I think it's enough already. We get it.
I like the Ray stuff, but again, excuse me. That was a whole nother storyline as well, because now you have Ray and it's about him in the golden years. And, you know, Winston saying, listen, you can't keep hunting ghosts. You have to let other people do it. And him being well, and that's a nice storyline, but all three of them are nice storylines, but they're taking up a majority of this movie that we found out it's not that long. I mean, it wasn't a very long movie, which is nice, but like they're all taking up real estate in a movie where that's three separate themes. Whereas Afterlife had one theme and it was about family and it was about coming. It was about like Fast and Furious, better than Fast and Furious. But yeah, it was about family.
Better than Fast Five. Oh, hang on now. Fast Five is a good movie.
Not better action than Fast Five. But I think that's your theme, and that's your theme in Ghostbusters Afterlife. Whereas this one is like, is it relationships? Is it finding yourself as a child? Is it coming to terms with letting the next generation take over? Or is it, you know, becoming someone's, you know, father or joining another family? Like, what is the theme of this movie?
I feel like this movie is an answer to a question Life did so well. Yeah, can you go to my single, please? After when Afterlife did so well, like, this movie is an answer to the question, okay guys, now what? Now what do we do? Like, it's now, okay, so what happens now? We got this movie, everyone loves it, and it's a good movie. Afterlife is a good film. It was a really nice capper to the Ghostbusters. but it was popular. So now obviously the intention is to make another one. So it's just, I feel like Frozen Empire is like, okay, well, now what happens? They go to New York and they start trying to become a family. And okay, there's another ghost, and Ray, like I think the Ray storyline with Winston's storyline, I think that can stay. I know we want to see Bill Murray, and that's fine. I don't think he's needed in the movie. I don't think Mel
100% 100%.
Yeah.
So, well, I think maybe in a small way because she's a secretary, she can be in it.
I don't need it.
Don't need Venkman. I love Venkman. You know, I grew up like idolizing that sarcastic, smarmy nature of his, but like but at the same time, if you have everybody and not him, people are going to be like, man, why couldn't you give Venkman?
Yeah.
But like you said, when we saw it, and you just mentioned before, we don't need them again, but I do think we need, I like having Winston being like the boss of Ghostbusters. I like having that kind of tie to it. And I like maybe Ray being their Q, like in a James Bond sort of way. Like, I've got all the ancient relics. I really know more of this, you know, hocus pocus stuff. And Winston's got the tech. So they kind of have it held down. The money buys the tech. Yeah. But you don't need Venkman anymore. You don't need Melnitz. Unfortunately, you don't need Rick Moranis. Although I did want Rick Moranis.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
What you miss Tully?
I miss Tully. I really was hoping for a Tully cameo. And I think it's like, at this point, I think he's, like you said, I think he's done. I don't think he's coming back.
Really?
I'm like Rick Moranis. I mean, if he's not coming back for Ghostbusters again, like their reunion, and I don't know what's going on with Honey the Shrunk the Kids show. It was supposed to come out forever ago.
Whatever. All right. So give me something in this film besides what we just talked about. Give me something in this film that you absolutely hated. If there is a moment that you absolutely did not like at all, that is worth your ire.
That I absolutely did not like.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't like Lucky in the film. I didn't think she made sense being there. A lot of her scenes kind of fell flat for me. And then I don't like Phoebe, quote unquote, killing herself, basically pulling a Casper and letting her soul out of her body to meet the other ghosts that she was having feelings for and looking at each other. And you knew the betrayal was coming. I was like, I get like, okay, the God needs a body to inhabit or a spirit to inhabit to say the.
That's a weird plot device because now you're basing that the, what's her name again? Well, I forgot the fire Melody? Girl's name.
Melody.
Melody has to know that they have this, like they have this capability to take the spirit out of her body so that he can inhabit and control the body portion. But they don't ever, the only time they ever explain how, oh, we take these little devices and we take the spirits out and then we vacuum them away. We take them away and we put them in the containment.
Yeah. They never explain it works on a human being and doesn't kill them. Yeah.
Right. So then she just knows like it'll work. It'll work. Let me just go in there. And so now she's the level of smart that like in Jurassic Park when she's like, this is a Linux system and she like knows how to get to the park, which is a cool scene, but still it's like, wow, you really know your stuff, like that kind of thing. So it's a little wonky when that kind of it just doesn't add up.
Right. But I don't know if there's a scene like, again, I don't think this movie is, I mean, I know the reviewers are kind of ripping it to shreds, but I don't think it's terrible. I just think that it is pretty much a bunch of ideas for potential sequels with the storyline kind of shoved in there. Like you said, what can we do next? And I just feel like it needed more time. I feel like everything in there is a good idea. That's just unrealized. Like, I feel like this entire movie is just unrealized good ideas, which makes it okay or meh, depending on what scene you're in. And that changes everything. And that's unfortunate because they had such a good start again with Afterlife.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
is there a scene that really took you out of it?
No.
I just think it, I don't think it was a scene. I think it just meanders and I can't quite, I was just like, can something happen? Like I was just, the whole stuff when they're playing, when they are playing chess, that whole thing, when they're having the conversation and then they have, I wasn't really drawn into that. In terms of maybe like the, for the overall plot of the story. I mean, obviously, okay, I get it. You know, Melody has an ulterior motive. So that's why she's, you know, cozying up to Phoebe. It wasn't like a scene, but it was just, I just wasn't into, it was just meandered. And Alejandro, that's a good point. No ghost busting montage.
I thought the same thing. When the ghosts get released, we don't get any. I was waiting for some.
Yeah, we don't get that classic one. Yep. No, absolutely. That's a great point. Yeah. I mean, where is that? Where that's supposed to be all the time. You're supposed to have that there. Even Answer the Call had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great point.
Especially with them back in New York. Let's go.
Yeah. And the last live we did, when we talked about Roadhouse, I talked about third act problems starting in the second act. I think this had same thing. I think this had major, I mean, the first act starts and you're like, okay, I'm into it. It has a nice scene. It has an opening scene in the Manhattan Adventures Club. And I go, okay, that's creepy. That's nice. That's a nice little start. All right. Look, I'm feeling it. And then like, it just goes poof. And then I know you love seeing Slimer. I get it.
I do.
But he's, there's no reason why he's just there. And then
it feels like they took the pieces of Ghostbusters 2, which we had talked about, where they had Tully going after Slimer and they cut it in Ghostbusters 2. And they were just like, hey, what if we do it with Finn Wolfhard's character? Because he doesn't have anything to do in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they just put him in.
Very true. And not for nothing, but when Slimer goes through him, that's not enough slime. That's not enough slime. When he slimes Venkman in the 84 film,
he's really
covered. Slim. Yeah, he has to get covered, and he doesn't. Not a fan of that. I'm sure. That
I also feel like
thing. I don't want to get slimed.
I feel like Slimer's a little bit bigger in this one too. Which I mean, maybe from all they eat.
I think he's the original scary version. I think that's they went back to him being less comical.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like when they first reveal his face, it's an animatronic. And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, so he looked good. He was pointless. Yeah. Although I do like when he eats the possessor ghost and the pizza. I know we both laughed at that
scene. We did. But like, possessor ghost not dead. Like, so honestly, possessor ghost would probably possess Slimer, right? I mean, at that point.
Can a possessor ghost possess Slimer? That's Ghostbusters.
Are they going to do another one? Because I don't know if I need to see another one. I mean, we're good, right? Like, this is enough.
They created Ghost Corps for a reason. They're not just going to make two movies and drop it. Or is Answer the Call also Ghost Corps?
Yes, because that was their first. They were trying to start that.
Okay.
And because so
their third
because it didn't movie. Do well. Because it didn't do well, they went back to the original storyline, the original characters. Right. They may go back and they may go alternate universe way or something like that. I just don't really care enough to see this group of new Ghostbusters, which is the family, move on. I don't really need to see anything else. I'm good.
I agree with that. I think their story ends here, but I think that now you have this kind of this setup for what I think was originally thought of when they were thinking about Ghostbusters 2 and beyond back in the 80s and 90s, which is Ghostbusters International. I think you've kind of set the stage for that. But yeah, I agree. I don't need to see. I can see Ray and Winston again, but I think the Spangler family is kind of you can sunset.
They'll probably won't. I mean, you're not gonna you have Carrie Coon and you have Paul Rudd. You're gonna put them. They're gonna be one in there. I mean, I guess my level of anticipation is not that high anymore for another one. I mean, Afterlife was cool. Yeah, they're back. And then Frozen Empire, I was like, all right, let's give it a shot. But my level of my anticipation is gone. So let me ask you this, Butler.
Yes.
I already know what the end one's going to be. I want you to rank the Ghostbusters movies. I want you to give me a rank from 1 to 5.
It's going to go 1, right? 5, 2, because it's a film from my childhood. But I think Afterlife is actually probably realistically probably better than two. But it's going to go one, two, Afterlife, Frozen Empire, Answer the Call. Answer the Call is just absolutely unapologetically not Ghostbusters. It's just not. It's not. And I know you're like, oh, well, you can't compare, but you can, I have to.
I understand that.
This is failed, not so great ideas, but Answer the Call is not so great bad ideas that fall flat. But how about your rankings? Let's go. Do you match?
No, I would. I would go. The original Afterlife, two, and then I think Frozen Empire and Answer the Call are probably really close, four or five. I mean, wow. Yeah. I mean,
so you're really down.
Here you go, Butler. Here's something for you. Possessor Ghost should have just possessed Phoebe. Would have given the possessor. Oh, okay, Phoebe could have. That's true too. That's a good point.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense. Alejandro, why don't you call Gil Keenan and get on that writing crew for the next Ghostbusters? Because that would have been better.
That would have made sense
because the trap goes down. Yeah. He could have gotten out of the window.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it makes more sense than the whole idea of, well, I'll convince her, I'll befriend her, and then Phoebe will go into this machine, and then, oh yes, and then her ghost comes, then you can possess that. Yeah, what you're saying there, Alejandro, makes sense. What happened?
She'll die for two whole minutes, but not really die, and then come back, and she'll be fine.
Yeah, and then she's like, I'll be fine, I'll just wake up. Your soul was ripped from your body, you're just going to wake up. Okay, I guess that's how it works.
Yeah, that works,
good point. Yeah, exactly. Going back to the ranking, yeah, I just one of the other things with Frozen Empire that I kind of appreciated more in Afterlife were the callbacks. I felt in this one they were forced. A lot of them were forced, except with the exception of the best one when he's telling her when the Gruberson's telling her, you know, I just want to, who's going to call Ghostbusters. That's Paul Rudd.
Get out.
That's Paul Rudd. That's why that works. Other than that, I just felt a lot of the callbacks in this film were forced rather than Afterlife. I feel like, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Hated the librarian popping up, and I love the librarian. It just was like, why? Come on. Okay.
Because it's almost like the
first one.
It felt, and I'm not saying this because it's bad, because I love this cutaway. It's almost like in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when they pass the Ark of the Covenant but I love that. So I'm not saying, but it feels like that. It feels like
that's a quicker shot too. Yeah. But yeah. Absolutely. It's like, come on. Come on. We don't need that.
Yeah. I just felt like all the callbacks to the original were just meh. And there was with the exception of in the background when I showed you it looked like they were using the gun they used in Ghostbusters 2,
right? Yep.
I was shooting the goo. With the exception of that, there's no callbacks to the second film, which I think you should have done that more. I think so but I also think that
a lot of people don't like the second film, so I don't think you need to.
True.
Okay. I mean, do I want to see Janosch maybe? Like, what's he up to right now? Is he still at the art museum?
Peter McNichol?
Yeah, let's get him.
Like, maybe.
We got the mayor. One scene you said, what I really didn't like, I don't, and this is sad for me to say, I hate the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I don't think they made any sense in this movie to be in it. And then they have the end credit scene. And then I read right after that I think it was Gil Keenan said, they have more story to tell, which makes me think that if they do another one, it's going to be about these guys. And I think your Gozer, just stop the Gozer stuff. I think the Gozer stuff is over.
We have more stories that the
with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's you're hanging your hat and Stay Puft.
No, that's I mean, I've said before, we've covered Monster House on the original show. I like Gil Keenan. I just think this one's a mess. I think this one's just not great.
I think they were just like, we need a sequel. We need it by this date. Yeah. And they were like, because we had said before in our lead up, it's probably because it's the 40th anniversary. They were like, get something out now.
That makes sense.
So they had no time to cook.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. This movie does not make sense, but that makes sense. It's too bad too, because the whole thing with the lion in the front of the public library and she blows it up and then you see it later on at the end of the movie. I'm sorry. They just put it back together.
Stuff like that. That feels cartoonish.
Stuff. Absolutely.
That feels like you're watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon and everything's fine to the next scene. It's like, that's not, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get like old men complaining. you know, clearly we did not like this as much as we liked Afterlife. And hey, listen, not everything's great. Not everything's good. Do you think this is worth people going out to see though in the theater? How about that? That's a good question. We haven't had in many years. Theater? Is this Ghostbusters movie worth going to the theater for?
I always like seeing movies in the theater that are kind of action oriented and IMAX. This has some cool moments in terms of sound design and kind of like when things get dark, they get dark, which is cool. But I think overall, if you don't have the money to blow after seeing Dune and you like maybe see one movie every quarter, I don't know if this is the movie to see after Dune. I think maybe wait for, you know, I'm a big Planet of the Apes guy. I would say wait another month for Apes as a big blockbuster, like go to see it movie. I liked it. We saw it in the IMAX. It was cool. But yeah, I don't think it's necessary. I do think it's worth the watch if you really like Ghostbusters. It's not garbage, but it's definitely not worth your $17 if you don't have that to, you know,
blow. IMAX on the weekends, like a 20.
That's true.
$20. Another good point here, Mike, check this out. You know, what's funny about this point too, is I forgot Patton Oswalt was in this movie. So when Ray says, I know somebody who could help us out, but he was hesitant to go, I actually thought it was the librarian, because I know I remember seeing the librarian.
She's in the trailer.
And I actually thought, like, oh, wait a minute, that's why the librarian's in the movie. And then when Patton Oswalt shows up, I go, all right, he's in this film. So
that is a good point. I like that.
You know what's funny, Alejandro, is that a lot of times in our main show, we talk about films. We make a point sometimes that sometimes films feel like they just needed one more rewrite or they needed another pass through the script itself. Yeah. And I feel like this is either this, they could have gotten to this, like considered this in terms of the librarian, or maybe they had it and they were like, no, let Patton Oswalt's going to do the movie. We're just going to do that. So that feels like a point that they could have gotten to if they just kind of worked on the script a little bit more. But to Mike's point, they were probably in a rush too. So that's probably why we got what we got. But that's another good point.
That's a really good point. And he remembered his name is Garaka too, which I like, because I can't remember. Nice. I couldn't remember it was Garaka. But yeah, I think that
way to go.
It definitely needs to be, this is draft one or two when they were to say, let's go with it instead of maybe like, hey, can we get one?
I'm sure it was a draft one. I'm sure it was draft one.
I'm joking. Yeah. That's hyperbole. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Like just like, but, and the same thing we talk about, like Patton Oswalt, like his stuff, he was kind of funny. I liked what he had to say, but it took me out of the movie because it's Patton Oswalt. Same with Kumail. I didn't think he was bad in the movie. I think a lot of his kind of silly jokes and kind of reactions to things landed, but they are, maybe it's because they're stand-up comics. They kind of take me out because it's like, okay, I know I'm seeing you as Patton Oswalt. I'm seeing you as Kumail. Like I'm not seeing the character.
Yeah, but that's but that's when, like, just take it back to 84 when Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and they're doing this movie. They're comedic actors that people know from other things. So it's not like you know them as Ghostbusters.
That's the thing. It's like, because I grew up with them as Ghostbusters.
Right.
I went back and watched SNL when I was a teenager and was like, oh, they're also in that kind of.
Right. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think it also, the other side of it also works. Sure. Too. Just you have to suspend that disbelief of reality. Like everything, anytime you watch a movie, that the suspension of disbelief is what you need. So I understand that. I get that. I know we're going to talk about the movie. We'll probably wrap up, but I said I was going to bring this up. tell everybody during the film what pissed you off during when we were watching the movie. So
a family of 10 comes in. I think they come.
No,
in
like, it was like five. Relax.
It was a big row of family. They come in. The movie is like just starting, so they don't even come in before trailers. They don't have the decency to show up by trailers.
They were late. They were late.
And they're taking selfies. They're letting their kids watch videos. And
I've never seen someone take a selfie during a movie. That was the
with
first
the
time
flash
I've ever
on.
Seen that.
With the I
never
flash.
Saw I've never seen someone do that. I was just like, okay. And for those who don't know, we used to work at the movie theater.
I've seen people take selfies.
And Butler's in my seat next to me in the seat, and he leans forward, and I'm like, you don't work here anymore. And because like he was gonna do something. I'm like, just sit back. You're fine.
They did finally leave when Garaka shows up and puts his horns on. Presumably,
yeah, it scared them. Absolutely. Which, you know, good. That's what you like in Ghostbusters.
That just proves that Garaka needed to show up earlier.
Well, Garaka was a good scary ghost, and they introduced him well. Yeah, no, but it's just you want more. You want more from him.
I want more Garaka. One thing that this movie again did well was the grittiness. The ghosts were creepy. That other ghost in the glass case next to the possessor ghost with a weird wire. Yeah. He was really creepy looking. Like,
and you never. Yep. Yep.
They still do ghosts well.
But I'll tell you, speaking of that, the British guy,
I was waiting for you to bring him up.
Why are you in the movie? And you've worked in, I guess, the secret aquarium Ghostbuster unit for over how long? You know that ghost spits goo at people. You know it.
I thought the same thing. Oh, I thought
he rolls up to you. He rolls up to you and you're And you're like, I always talk about in Prometheus when they go and they look at the little squiggly thing and they're like, oh, look at this thing. I'm like, you're on a strange planet. You know that thing's going to do you.
And you're a biologist. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know this goo thing's going to shoot goo at you. You lean down. You're like, oh, what are you doing out here? Like, come on. Are you that stupid?
Thought you were one of your big brothers. I'm going to run you over when I come back down.
And I hated that scene. And I hated that scene in Prometheus. I couldn't stand that scene in Prometheus. But yeah, so on the whole, I think, yeah, it's too bad. It was just a miss. And just, you know, I mean, Butler said, you know, if you love Ghostbusters, go to the theater. I think you can wait. I think you could just wait till it comes out digital, just watch it at home.
And I said, just like, if you love Ghostbusters, if you got to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you could wait. And if Mike's going to do his little Patreon pitch again, but if you, we covered all the other Ghostbusters film. We call them Forgotten Cinema Lead Up behind our Patreon. Join the Forgotten Cinema community and check that out. And you can see what we thought about the other films. And you know, that's what we usually do. We lead it up. But Mike, well, I want you to talk about what we got coming up in the next couple months in terms of for the Patreon and the main show. If you want to drop a few, oh no, you know what? Don't drop what movies we're doing because that's supposed to be for tomorrow, for Friday, right?
Friday the season movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be a big one up. So make sure you guys go to patreon.com/forgottencinema where you can check out all of our stuff that we have to offer, all the different tiers, all the rewards. You can check out our lead up series. You know, they're all posted. You can see what we've done so far. We've done the Ghostbusters series. We got Roadhouse. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff coming out for the lead up. Field and I are going to watch the remakes, the newer Planet of the Apes saga, the trilogy leading up to the newest one. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So that's coming up. I think we start that in April. So in a couple of weeks, we start that up. May 1st, like he said, the regular season starting. So that's going to be available for everybody. We're available on YouTube, on all podcast platforms. We've got the entire Alien saga coming up as well over the course of the summer, leading up to Alien Romulus. We're going to cover a lot of new movies in our now showings. Our now showings, these live streams are at the moment, because we're just starting up the live streams, they're available for everybody, but eventually those are going to be part of another tier as well. But you can always check out the no showings the day after. We're going to put them up online for everybody to watch. Patreon.com/forgottencinema. You could also join our Discord page where we are all about talking movies. We want to make a community of people that love movies and want to talk about movies and discuss movies and celebrate movies. And maybe talk about, like we did with Ghostbusters, what maybe could have been done to improve the movies, what maybe kind of went wrong. We always talk about how opinions are subjective. So no one's right. No one's wrong. Everyone's got their own opinion. But like Field and I sometimes might argue about movies or prefer jokingly. Movies. We all love movies and we want to have a place where people can come together to talk about it. So check us out. And,
I was pointing to what you're seeing behind me is actually the remnants of our studio, which is being rebuilt, because I had water damage. So now that's being fixed and rebuilt and it's going to be all jazzed up, and I'm hoping to put a big giant, Army of Darkness, Italian Army of Darkness poster back there, which Butler loves. So we're going to have that up there. So we're going to, when that gets set up, that's where we'll no longer be separate. We'll be together, which will be better, because then we get to yell at each other more. But thanks for watching. If you see Frozen Empire, if you want to, you know, if you join the Discord, you want to talk more about it, please let us know. We'll still chat about it. But, until then, we'll see you next time. I'm Mike Field.
I'm Mike Butler.
And this has been Forgotten Cinema, now showing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Bye guys.
Take care.